I would place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor reply. Content whatever I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God's to Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
It's our responsive reading time now. It is again Psalm 23. You can follow that on the screen also. It is on page 754 in the blue hymnal. Those of you can recite by heart already, try that as well. So please stand up, and if you are able, and let us join for Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yet I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thy art with me. Thy rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare the table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The word of God for the peoples of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us go to God in prayer at this time with our prayers of blessings, and let us thank God for the blessings that we have in our lives, and share them with each other, and also lift them up to God. And also, let us share our concerns and burdens together as a church body united in spirit. God's promise is that if we unite in spirit and lift up our needs, God will answer our prayers according to his will and his time. So let us raise our prayers of concerns and blessings. The last page has the prayer requests. If you look at the bottom of the last page in the bulletin, prayer requests are listed there. Let us continue to pray for Carol. She had another fall. Thankfully, it was not that bad. It did not hurt her too much, but she still has some pain. She's at home, and please pray for Carol and also Wayne as he's taking care of her. Anyone wants to share any updates? Maybe.
Well, she had a little better night last night than the two previous nights.
Okay. And continue to pray for George Vergis as he's recovering from his surgery with his tube feeding. Let's pray that God will give him a complete recovery so that he can start feeding through the mouth. Paul and Becky, they are doing fine. Please continue to pray for them as they are recovering from the COVID. Any other special call-outs? I know, Jean, yeah.
Just pray for my sister, Margaret. My brother-in-law passed away yesterday.
Are they in Georgia?
Beg your pardon?
Are they in Georgia or? Where are they?
They're in Pattown, North Carolina.
North Carolina.
It's
okay.
A Moravian community outside of Winston-Salem.
Oh, okay. Let's pray for Gene's sister Margaret. His brother-in-law passed away yesterday. Please pray for the family for peace and comfort during this time. Continue to pray for Martha as she has started her chemo, and also Rich. Martha, you have any updates you want to share?
I'll have another round of chemo this coming Wednesday, but I'd like to lift up my daughter, Jennifer Berry. She was in a serious car accident last Sunday, and she has 5 broken ribs and a lot of bruising. It's going to take about eight weeks to heal.
Oh, wow.
But we praise God that she's alive. It was a bad accident, so we're thankful.
Please keep Jennifer in our prayers, and that she can recover without any complications, and God will keep her in his arms. Any others? Let us continue to pray for our service workers, our medical professionals, doctors and nurses, our fire, police, military, all of those people who serve us every day. Let us pray for their safety and their family safety, and also be thankful for their work that they're doing for us. Let us keep our nation as we face an election time. Let us pray that God will raise the right leaders for our country. Let's pray for the president, vice president, and congress leaders and governors of the state and many others who make decisions that affect our daily lives, that God will give them the wisdom to make the right decisions. Let us go to God in prayer. Spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I will close with a summarized prayer. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Loving God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to come together to worship you, and also to intercede and pray for ourselves and for others. We thank you for the gift of life with all the joys and blessings and the health and strength that we have in our bodies. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection every day. We come before you as your children because of your Son Jesus Christ, who came and gave his life for us. You are the source of all good things, and you desire only good things for us, and we seek your presence at this time. Loving God, we come before you with our needs and burdens and our concerns at this time. Many of us are broken in many different ways, in our bodies, in our souls, in our spirit. But you are the source of all true healing, and that who can and one who can make us whole. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Lord, when we are lonely, you are our friend. When we go through life's sorrows and losses, you give us comfort and peace. You are the source of true healing that we can always come and trust. We lift up all those who need your guidance and protection at this time, particularly the ones that we have named here today. We lift up Carol into your hands, Lord, as she's recovering from her surgery. We pray that you will continue to heal her, recover her back to normal, that she can come back to church and worship together with us. We pray for Wayne also, as he's taking care of her. Bless him with your grace, and bless both of them with your peace and comfort every day. We pray for George Varghese, and we pray for a miracle, for a complete healing, that he can start feeding through his mouth, Lord. Bless him and his wife and the families with your comforting presence as they are struggling for the last 4 months with this disease. We pray that you will touch him and heal him, and we unite in prayer in spirit so that your Holy Spirit will touch him and heal him. We pray for the sister of Jean, Margaret, and her family as they are grieving at the death of their dear one. We pray that you will bless them with your peace. Above all, we pray for your comforting presence to be with them, Lord, and comfort them with your peace and presence. We pray for Jennifer, as Martha has shared, that she survived the accident, and we thank you for keeping her in your arms during that time. Bless her, Lord, with complete healing as she is going through recovery. We pray for your touch at this time. Touch her, Lord, with your grace, and heal her completely and recover her body and strength back to normal. We pray for those who are struggling like that. We pray for Martha as she's going back for her next chemo next week. We pray that you'll strengthen her body, and thank you for the faith and the spirit that you have given her, Lord. Continue to strengthen her and hold her in your eternal arms. Pray for Rich as well. Bless them as a family. Cover them with your protection and comfort them with your presence. We pray for Paul and Becky. Thank you for the recovery that you've given them from COVID. Continue to strengthen them in their body and their spirit. We pray for all of those who are looking for your guidance. We also pray for Eleanor Nicholson, as she is also going through the difficult time, the last stages of her cancer. We pray that you will give the family the comforting peace and the right things that they need to plan on for her, Lord, and guide her with your wisdom and your peace this time. We pray for our service workers. We thank you for their services, our police, our military, our fire, and delivery clerks and mailmen, and many, many others who are supporting us and serving us every day. We thank you for them, and we pray for their protection and safety. We pray for our nation as a whole at this time. Help us, Lord, to be united together, even in the midst of these elections, Lord, as many are going through many different problems and issues, especially the economy and the inflation that we are facing. We pray that your Holy Spirit will work through the leaders and give them the wisdom to do the right things. We pray for our president, our vice president, our Congress leaders, and the governors of the state, and many, many others who are making decisions, and bless them with your grace and wisdom, and keep them under your mighty wings, Lord. We thank you for this church that you have given us, Lord. As we worship here today, we thank you for the opportunities that you have given us to do your work in this community and around the world. Help us to use the opportunities faithfully, Lord, that we will do them and use them according to the ways that you give us, Lord. We pray for the new church that has started worshiping with us, and guide them with your spirit that they can also grow together with us. Help us, Lord, in this community that we will be serving and also showing your care and compassion as much as we can through the opportunity that you have given us, Lord. Bless us today as we worship together. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, Lord. Let your name be lifted up in our songs, in our prayers, in our devotion of the word. We pray that you will bless us with your grace. As we go from this place, Lord, help us to be empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can be powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offering, please. Thank you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us pray. Scripture says that everybody should give according to what God has decided in their hearts, not under compulsion, but from the heart. God loves a cheerful giver. Loving God, you are the source of all that we have and all we are. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in your stewardship in this world with the blessings that you have given us, Lord. Help us to use this offering that your people that have submitted here, Lord, for the glory of your name and sharing your love to this community and around the world. Help us to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We thank you for all those who are able to give today, and pray for those who could not give today, Lord. Bless them and cover them all with all your love, Lord, and continue to strengthen them in their spirit. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
As you remain standing, we'll be reading the scripture, which is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. This is the background of this passage, is when the people of Israel were in the desert on their journey to the promised land. They found themselves without food, and God gave them manna from heaven. So the whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough food for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you food to eat, and the evening all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the gift of your word that you have given us for life and spirit. As we come before your word, we pray that you will humble our spirits so that we will receive your word in humility and in obedience, so that we can obey your word and your commandment as we go from this place. Illumine our souls so that we can see the mysteries and the truths behind your word that can apply to our lives, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The fifth verse of Psalm 23 that most of us know by heart already, even if you don't know the whole psalm yet. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Yes, a verse in this psalm that shows the blessing, the abundance of blessing that God's people can enjoy in the presence of God. The psalm started with "The Lord is my shepherd." And we talked about that, about the safety, about the protection, about the security that the shepherd gives us from the enemies. And he protects us from the enemies. We talked about the rod and the staff, how the rod is defending from the enemies, and the staff is for caring and keeping us safe. So the scripture is the rod that gives us, God has given us for our protection, our safety. Without the word of God, we would not be living as human beings anymore. So God also gave us the staff. The staff that you have seen with the crook at the top is about caring and compassion, to keep us straight and also to feed us and to make sure that he cares for us. Anytime you see the staff, the sheep see the staff, the sheep is feel at peace. So when we see the staff, that means God's presence in us, we have to be at peace and we can be at peace. But now the psalmist David is talking about preparing a table before us by God. And in other words, in my that I see that the Lord is my shepherd is the beginning, and in the middle of the psalm you see that the Lord is my chef. He's preparing a table, he's preparing a food for us. As United Methodists, we all are very familiar with food, and we are very excited about it when we gather together. And we have the monthly luncheon here, and we look forward to that next week, and we have a lot of food all the time. And it is part of our fellowship. Believe it me or not, the food makes a big difference in our unity. When we eat together, regardless of what kind of separate ideas and issues that we have, when we eat together in one table, on one table, it makes a big difference. It unites us in spirit and in our efforts that we are doing. So when the psalmist is writing this psalm, he says that God is the one who prepares a food for him, a table before the presence of the enemies. That's what he's saying. So God is described as a chef setting a table before you and before the enemies in front of you. When God is the chef, you don't have to do anything. You will be the winner in front of the enemies. So we see God hosting tables in many places. And one of the things that one of the places is that what I read today in the desert, where God prepared a table. Basically, he gave them food. They left the Egyptian bondage and ran from the Pharaoh, fearing for their life. And now they are in the wilderness, in the desert, and they are finding themselves without food to eat. So they were grumbling against Moses and Aaron, who were the leaders. Moses was the leader and Aaron was the priest. And they were grumbling against them, saying that, "Why did you take us here in the wilderness, in the desert? We would have died in Egypt. At least we had water and food there, and we could have eaten that and drank the water and died there. Why do you want us to come here and die here?" And they were grumbled against Aaron and Moses. If you see a person who never grumbles, starve him for a couple of days, then you will see the difference. Everybody will grumble when they start getting hungry and thirsty, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, because that is one of the basic things that we need to sustain our lives. And when we don't have that, our system will start reacting and responding, and we want to get that food and water to nourish our bodies. That is a natural instinct that we grumble. So the people of God grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and they are just like them. They don't have anything that they can offer. So they went to the Lord and prayed for these people. And God said, "I am going to rain down food from the heaven." How many of them probably would believe that? You're going to rain down food from the heaven? And that's what exactly happened. He actually gave manna from heaven. All they needed to do was to go and collect it. They didn't have to work for it. That is what is called the food of heaven, because it's already made, prepared, ready for you. All you have to go and collect it. But God gave them a very, very condition that you collect for every day. Don't collect it too much. You know, when you get some free stuff, what do? You try to grab as much as you can, right? That's what we do. But God said, you know, that's what Jesus told us and taught us the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, just worry about tomorrow, today. And tomorrow, you'll worry about tomorrow. So if you have enough for today, be content and be happy with that. That's what the psalmist is saying, that God is able to lead me every day, day by day. If we have enough things for us to live today, let us be happy about that. Let's see what happens tomorrow. Who knows what is going to happen, right? You never know. We may not be here. The world may not be here. Or the Lord will come tomorrow or tonight. Who knows? So why do we worry about tomorrow? But most of the worries that we have is about tomorrow. It's not about today. We worry about tomorrow because we don't know what is coming ahead of us. And that is the truth. We don't know. So instead of worrying about the unknown, God is telling us through the scripture that don't worry about tomorrow, because there is a God who is going to prepare everything that we need in front of us. Not only in front of us, in front of our enemies. That's what David is saying. So like I said, when God prepares a table, you don't have to do anything. You just show up. It is free, and you grab it and you enjoy it as much as you can. And then God told them not to collect more than you need for the day.
Right.
And you know what some people did? Some people gathered a lot. And they kept it for overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought that they could, you know, tomorrow God may not be there. What do you do? So we can keep it some for tomorrow. And you know what happened when they opened that the next morning? It had worms in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. But the dew, I mean, you see that. It is very interesting when you read how God gave them manna. Manna was showering from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the early morning that they were going to collect it. They were asked to collect this. And they found that this manna was covered with dew. Dew meaning the frozen water. To me, it looks like God was trying to refrigerate the food for them. So even then, they don't have a refrigerator at the time. God found a way to preserve the food. And then, if you are going to take that food and without the dew and the covering, it's going to spoil. That's what they learned. They learned it the hard way. They had to clean up their pots again the next day because it was all worms and they left overnight. So don't worry about tomorrow. God has a plan for all of us tomorrow. And He will take us to that plan if we trust in Him. And God also wants us to make sure that when you go to God in prayer, like I said, when you go to the table, you don't have to do anything. God has already prepared for it. You don't have to do anything. Many times we feel ourselves unworthy to go to God before. We are all unworthy before God.
Amen.
But it is not because of our worthiness that God gives us everything. He knows that we are unworthy. He knows that we are unfaithful. In spite of who we are, God gives us everything that we need. It is not because of who you are, it is in spite of who we are. In spite of what we do, in spite of our condition, not because of what we do. Many times we try to do things to please God. It is okay to do good things, but if we try to do things to please God, how much are we going to do? We cannot do much. And when it comes to all of us, we have a limit of what we can do. But God loves us regardless of what we do. He loves us unconditionally because He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, unconditionally. We didn't ask for it. God, on His own grace, decided to send His Son to die for us. So there is nothing you can do anyway to earn the salvation that God has given us. We don't have to make prayers. We don't have to, you know, go to places. You don't have to go to pray to a saint or nothing. Go to God in prayer and tell Him that, God, I am a sinner. I am unworthy, and You know that. I am before You here. So I know that everything that I have is from You. It is not because of who I am. It is only because of who He is. He is a gracious God. Regardless of our condition and our faithfulness, He will bless us. So when we are invited to God's table, we are asked to focus on the table and not the enemy. So many times what happens to us is that God has given us all these things that we want to enjoy, but we have these enemies around us, like the foxes and the wild animals that are trying to get these sheep. So if the sheep is going to be always afraid of what is around them, they are not going to enjoy, they cannot have any rest. But when they know that the shepherd is at their side, they are not afraid of the enemy. At just like that, God is asking his people, when you come to the table that I have prepared for you, you don't have to worry about the enemy. In David's case, he had a lot of enemies because he was a king one time and he had other things to worry about during that time and he had to flee for his life. So he had enemies as real enemies. But in our case, we may not have people as enemies. And there might be people also trying to hurt us and harm us. But many times we are worried not about the people around us, but we worry about other things. Our sickness, our situations, our family situations, our relationships, our financial problems, or problems at work. All of those things are enemies. An enemy is anything that takes away the joy of your life. It can be people, it can be your family, it can be your relationships, it can be anything. Anything that steals the joy of your life is your enemy. But God is asking us, don't worry about those things, because I have the table prepared for you to enjoy. The table is full of joy and happiness and peace. And that's the gift that God has given us to enjoy. If we start worrying about the other things and not focusing on the table, we are never going to be at peace. And God is asking us not to worry about the enemy because he has already conquered the enemy. If we are focused upon looking at the enemy, it may be difficult to see the blessings on the table. The enemy is anything that steals the joy of our lives. And one of the famous preachers has said like this, the enemy is at the door, and yet God prepares the table, and the Christian sits down and eats as if everything is in perfect peace. So we can be at peace and enjoy all the blessings that God has prepared for us. And Paul says in Philippians that do not worry about anything. My God can supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The enemies can be anything that steals our joy. And like Jesus said, one thing is needful. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when David is talking about the presence of enemies, the enemies are only in this world. So he's not talking about something in heaven. We don't have any enemies in heaven. So it has to be here on earth. So God's table is to enjoy without fear of the enemy. One of the commentators is reading that a magnificent banquet is provided by the most liberal guest, most liberal host, who has not only the bounty to feed me, but the power to protect me and surround me with his safety and security. Even the good plants in anywhere that we plant will have weeds among them. That is what steals the strength of the real plants. So God is asking us not to be afraid of those weeds because God has taken care of them. And then we all know that we celebrate the Holy Communion. In our church, we do that every month, once a month. Many churches do that more regularly. Some of them do every week. So God's commandment is, or Jesus, when he showed us the Last Supper, that is one of the supper that he enjoyed before he went to the cross. And he hosted a table for them. And then he told them, do this in remembrance of me. So when we unite together in the Lord's table, every time we gather together and take up this Holy Communion, it is a sign that God's table is always ready so that we can enjoy without fear. Fear of sin, fear of guilt, because God has already forgiven us from all of our sin and our guilt. And then there is going to be a table that we are going to enjoy in heaven one day. And Jesus is preparing that table right now. And there we will feast at the heavenly banquet one day together. There will be no enemies that we have to be afraid. There will be no sickness. There is no death. It's no grief, or we don't have to worry about any of those things in heaven as we feast at the heavenly banquet. There's already he's preparing a place that he will come and take us there one day, and that is his promise. And like David said, the Lord is my chef, and I will not worry about my enemies. I am determined to enjoy the food on the table and not to worry about the enemies. So this is a great psalm that we, as we continue a couple of more sessions, we will finish that up. But God is a good God, regardless of what we are and where we are. He has already laid out the table for us to enjoy. So for us to go and enjoy, we don't have to do anything. Just to go there and take it up and accept the grace that is given us. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place to enjoy the peace and the joy that he has set before us without being afraid of the worries and the fears and the burdens that are causing and stealing our joys, but to focus on the table and not the enemy. Amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is Victory in Jesus. If you are able, please stand. It is 370 in the blue hymn.
I heard an old story, how my Savior came from glory, how he gave his life for Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. Somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about the mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing out there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
People of God, go in the knowledge that God has already prepared a table for us to feast on it. Let us focus on the table and not on the enemies, so that we can live in peace and joy that God is expecting us to live here. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.